listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement and
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where we're delighted to be joined with Giuseppe Vaffanduolo and David Scorpio of the Wisdom Circle, where David Scorpio will be hosting today. David Scorpio, take it away.
Hello, Dr. Jim Fetzer, the most dangerous mind in America. How are you doing?
Oh, terrific, Scorpio. And I'm just delighted to have our sensational guest today with a technocratic tyranny. She's doing such great work.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And we got Giuseppe from the District of Criminals aboard here. Giuseppe, how are you, man?
I'm living the dream.
All right. La vida loca.
Yeah, man. Yeah, okay. Vicki Davis, she's amazing. I mean, what a phenomenal body of work the last 20 years or so.
Yeah. You know, Vicky's website, we'll put the links for both of her sites.
Yeah, I'm putting it up right now.
Just a minute. Yeah. You know, I'm always amazed at the depth of her work and the precision of what she's doing. It's really quite amazing. I urge everyone to, that's listening, go on the site and bookmark it and check it, because she puts out a lot of work and it's not filler. It's all really important stuff. And so without further ado, why don't we bring Vicki Davis aboard? Vicki, how are you?
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much for all of your kind words there. I do appreciate that.
Well, you've certainly earned it. And, you know, your sites are very thought-provoking. And I thought maybe I'd just sort of kick things off with you here, Vicki. And, you know, one of the things that you really delve into is the creation of systems and the systems we live under. And, you know, one thing I'm seeing is that we're seeing a merging of various old systems kind of, you know, coming together to create a new system. And one thing I find particularly disturbing is this merging of the military alongside with the medical industrial complex, with, you know, the military giving vaccines and distributing vaccines. It's all seeming to kind of come together. Well, maybe you could give us your thoughts about the merging of the military with the medical industrial complex.
Well, they are building a global governing system, and the basis for the new world order is systems using the telecommunications network globally. And when you think of a global governing system, that includes military, right? Peace and security. You have to have a military arm, because not everybody behaves well. And sometimes you have to go beat them up, right? And so NATO and the U.S. military are essentially an integrated force. They may have separate commanding generals and whatever, and we have the what I would call the illusion of a government at this point. I'm not sure how much they actually control. But if you go back to 1994 and look at the Partnership for Peace, that was established after they had decided on establishing what I believe is a co-imperium over Europe by the name of the Organization for Security and Cooperation, the OSCE. And to find the origin of the OSCE, you have to go back to 1975 when they signed the Helsinki Final Act, which was an organization for negotiating the differences between East and West, you know, hopefully for the resolution of the Cold War. So,
right.
I forgot. What was your question?
Well,
sorry, if I just run on like that, just stop me.
Yeah, the merging of the military-industrial complex with, let's say, the medical-industrial complex, they seem to be coming together into a new system. And I think one thing we're sort of facing is what you might call medical tyranny.
Well, I have an idea on that. I don't have proof for this yet, but it was in the late 90s when they started building the global health system. Well, maybe it was the earlier 90s, but I haven't found those connections yet. But I know for sure, mid-90s, they started building the global health system. And when you think of big systems like this, you have to not only look at the documents of what they have, what they say they're going to do, but which organization has the capability to do it. Well, I've been looking at the Veterans Administration. And, of course, the military has their medical system. We have Medicare for the insurance and Medicaid, you know, throughout the states. And I kind of suspect, I don't know this for a fact, but I kind of suspect that in our country it's the Veterans Administration that is the lead in building the health system for all in the United States. Now, the military also has the capability of doing the build out of the global health system in all of the countries that they go work in, right? Now, Benghazi, for example, the reason why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi was that he was supposed to meet with the director of the emergency department at the hospital of Benghazi. And so that's why he was there. And I know the media has talked all about guns and, you know, whatever, and that may be part of it, but he was there, and he was to meet with a doctor from, I think it was Massachusetts General Hospital, and they were to talk about the upgrading of the emergency department of the hospital of Benghazi. Okay, now when you look at these systems, these global, they're interconnected global systems. And I was showing Giuseppe a little bit about the port system, the global cities system. Well, in the global network, the systems are connected at hubs, which turn out to be the transportation hubs, or in military parlance, in hostile territory, I suppose you would call it a forward operating base. So if you picture the world on a flat map with and draw a little circle for each one of these hubs, the Health for All system would be connected through the emergency departments of those hubs, the transportation hubs. And you can look at the Vision 2010 program of General John Shalikashvili. When he was made the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he brought with him, from NATO, the idea of the Joint Vision 2010, which is the military interpretation or definition of the hubs with the health component. Okay, so it all fits together. You just, when you read about something like a hub or a zone, you have to interpret that in a logical way, you know, and don't be literal. Oh, this is a military facility, so it's different from, say, the Denver airport or the Salt Lake Port Authority that's being built. It's different than that hub. They aren't different. When you look at it at a logical level and look at the components of it, you can see that it's the same. It's just that one is being presented by the military, one is being presented by a local port authority, you know, governing authority or a local mayor, city council, or whatever. So that's the way I do. MO is toggling back and forth between, you know, what the literal is in what I read into the symbolic, and how does that symbolic fit into the whole big picture?
Wow, that's great. Interesting, Vicki. Is Jim Fetzer still with us, Giuseppe?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. Okay, well, let's hear from the most dangerous mind in America. Jim, take it away, please.
Well, I'm fascinated by what Vicki has to say about Benghazi, which appears to have been a real attack on the ambassador who was going to opposing gun running, where Hillary appears to have been deeply, deeply involved there as elsewhere, and where the slaughter of Libya was outrageous. Perhaps she could comment on all of the above.
Yeah, the who was attacking who in Libya, I'm not sure, but I do know that the Middle East did not want this global governing system, because the internet brings into their communities Western decadence. And there was a faction of them that did not want their societies corrupted like that. And I'm sure that they didn't know how to stop that. But in terms of Benghazi, through my research, I found out that Muammar Gaddafi did not want a zone in Benghazi. Benghazi is a port, of course, which when you look at the ports as logical islands, they're both seaports and inland. And through the transportation network, you know, the design of the network, you end up with maritime highways. But Muammar Gaddafi, I think what my opinion was that he was smart enough to see that this was a bad thing. He might not have understood the whole thing, because, frankly, not that many people do, but he thought it was a bad thing. And so but his son did want it. And so it caused, you know, a family rift. And I think they took out Gaddafi because he was probably blocking it. So did that answer the question, or?
Yeah, I think that pretty much did. I'd welcome Giuseppe's thoughts about all of this.
Well, I have been just absolutely fascinated by the really, really focused and lucid research of Vicky, and she's just a prolific writer. Then, you know, some people can research things, but the way she boils it all down, first on her website, Channeling Reality, and now on her current one, The Technocratic Tyranny, and your concept of the globalists, pretty much, you know, like in football terms, putting a double fake on sovereign nations and trying to subvert through the global city is absolutely fascinating. I'm wondering, are you familiar at all with the Pritzker Forum on Global Cities, run by the billionaire Pritzker family and their deviants in Chicago, with being the backers of Barack Hussein Obama? Are you familiar with that, and have you studied it at all?
No, I haven't looked at that yet, because I've been trying to finish this piece that I've been working on the Socialist International. But I'm sure that everything that she's doing corresponds to what I've defined piece by piece, you know, what I've seen piece by piece in how this global system works. And the idea of a logical island where it is self-governed, if you're converting to a global economy and your objective is to get rid of nation states, which we know that that's what their objective is, then, I mean, that would be the way that you would do it, right? You just, then your governing system would go straight from global to local, which is what they've been hammering us with for two decades or three decades. I don't know, but when that propaganda campaign started. But the connection of the information systems plus the design idea of the logical islands, which are the cities that become chartered and ruled by a port authority, modeled after the New York, New Jersey Port Authority. The design of it comes together, and you can see, well, during Reagan's administration, his administration was focused on privatization, right? Privatization and volunteerism, and those two initiatives, especially the privatization, was the beginning of the corrosion of government. And then,
you know, the other thing that I find fascinating, I'd like to get your thoughts on as a follow-up, is why in the world is the U.S. military involved in this Operation Warp Speed? I mean, there is no threat to the infrastructure. There's no threat to the chain of government. Why couldn't the private sector and the post office have handled all this distribution?
It's logistics. It's, you know, the notice that they use the National Guard. And I think that the whole pandemic thing was a conversion dialectic. And so they wanted to test out the logistics. I don't know. Did you watch the hearing on the confirmation hearing for the two guys that were leading the logistics effort for Operation Warp Speed?
I did not watch it in its entirety, but I watched clips of them answering some key questions and such.
Yeah, that was a really interesting hearing, and anybody that's interested in that, you should listen to them, because it was really about the logistics of how do you the military, the National Guard, was even doing the I don't know, mixing up the formula, filling the vials, the syringes, and shipping. You know, kind of like how UPS distribution centers and Amazon distribution centers work. They receive the order and they package it and they deliver it. So, but the fact that they did that tells you that this is going to be a long-term thing. They don't set up these kinds of logistics systems, you know, for a one-off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, everything
and
about
who
this.
Who has the capability other than the military to do this globally?
Right, and you know everything about this whole COVID, Operation COVID thing, you know, it reeks of long-term planning. Everything from putting, you know, the plexiglass sheets up everywhere in supermarkets and schools and courtrooms, you know, it all leads to the obvious conclusion that this is a long-term thing, not a thing that's going to go away in a few months. You know, we've also been joined by Chris Weinert, all AKA Brutal Honesty, whose show comes on Sundays, 6 p.m. Studio B.
Saturday.
Chris, why don't you take it away, man?
Saturday, but thanks, Dave.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. I'm sorry.
These screens, think about it. They want everybody looking at each other through these screens instead of dealing with the actual physical reality of human contact. So I think maybe that's part of why they're putting these selective, effective spit shields up. Because, I mean, they're really not going to serve any pragmatic value, right? It's more or less aesthetic or like a some to be. The illusion of safety and then deliver it.
Yeah, like a movie prop.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, just like a movie prop, you're saying, kind of.
Yeah, sure. And look at how Wall Street has made like an accessorization of this entire social engineering operations. And
you're
there's
breaking up, Chris. I can't hear you. I think somebody's typing.
I'm sorry?
Somebody was typing. If you please mute.
My mistake. Yeah, my.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
sorry
that's
about
it.
That.
Now,
yeah.
There you go.
Repeat
it, Chris. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was talking about Wall Street basically accessorizing this entire process, just like they do with any socially engineered operation. And they use the military. And this is something that really you got to think about. Who do you think dispatches our military? Who do you think designed this military around this construct under things like the National Security Act? Things that after World War II, we started to really put the United Nations Charter as the long-term goal and the thing that the United States had been enforcing with its military, in many cases sticking its nose into efforts to colonialize under the United Nations. And I think that that's a grave mistake that the United States has made in the last century, is following the direction of these robber barons that have put this notion into like conquering or to colonializing the world. And I think that these are the guys that are behind things like our healthcare system, if you really look into it. And they're the ones that have also used things like IPOs through Wall Street to like to monetize things like healthcare, to turn it into an industry, just like they did with, you know, energy or politics or food, you know, or agriculture, whatever. You know, so this is really stuff you got to think about, because they put this in play for a long time. And like none of these things come back. You know, like once they put the income tax law in 1916, it's there forever. You know, that was to supposedly pay for a war we had no business going into in World War One. You know, then they start the Series E 10-year war bonds. The 10-year bond, as we know it, starts from this. Then they start issuing this type of thing where they're basically putting credit out against the Federal Reserve, and then on a reserve basis, allowing private interest, foreign-owned private interest, to control the monetary system in the United States, and then to really dispatch the military accordingly under its own leisure. So I think this is really something that we got to look at, because this whole thing seems to be like the robber barons are using this COVID thing as an extortion tactic or a means to shake down the public and to impose this vax ID big data thing, you know, through the intelligence agencies and in the private sector. And it creates a realm of like plausible deniability. You know, this whole thing, it reminds me of like the war of terror and how they did that after 9/11 with the same type of environment, you know. And this is something much, much bigger. Instead of like putting in the Abscam biometric database system like they did after 9/11, they're going into the Jedi and the Nightingale and the cloud and trying to put everybody into a crypto wallet that's going to be run by the central banks and basically be able to monitor you in real time. This is the end of all privacy in terms of these things. And as far as the Pritzker thing, that was a great comment. I think that there's a bigger effort that's been put together under the Trilateral Committee to really create a liberal left communist agenda, not only in the United States, but to control China, and in some cases to destabilize many other countries like Russia and other places around the world. So this is like kind of the theatrics or the game that they play. And I think it's really just a way for them to put a theatric out or under the, you know, the reign of terror. And it's a resource grab. And I think that they're doing this thing, you know, now they no longer need nation states. Maybe they're going on to this whole one world government thing and trying to arrive at that, being that, you know, Rothschild pretty much creates and owns and runs the customs and border patrol in most of these countries. So I know I'm a little long-winded here, but I think that they're really using the media to sensationalize violence, to sensationalize fear, and really to label the mercenaries that these private interests are putting out as quote-unquote fundamentalists. And I think that that's a big part of the operation that we're seeing. And I don't think that warp speed is a thing that the citizens want. And I think that they're having to walk this back now, seeing the immense resistance and the fever of resistance in which it's been met. So kudos to you guys that are fighting the good fight. I just had to thank you all.
Yeah, well, you've got it. The thing you need to look at is the Helsinki Final Act. That is the that was the agreement that was signed, that where East and West are both participants in cooperation. And ultimately, in 1990, the Charter of Paris was signed. That
leads into the climate stuff and the CAP 20s and stuff. Yeah, you're great. You're right on, no doubt.
Yeah, and that 1994 is the point at which the CSCE. It was just a conference between East and West up to that point, but in 1994. They institutionalized it and made it the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And that was the same year that the G7 decided to build global systems. And there is a list of about 11 systems, 10 or 11 systems that are global systems. And one of those is the global transportation system. They called it the MARIS system, implying, of course, maritime. But the transportation hubs that they're establishing that I consider to be economic choke points, they are the global transportation hubs. And one of the requirements to have that is that you've got to have telecommunications and a computer for the world customs organization, you know.
Okay, Vicky, we got a break coming here. Hold that thought, and we'll get back to these other 10 systems you were talking about. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People's Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, welcome back to the event. I am here with Giuseppe from the District of Criminal, Chris Weiner, a.k.a. Brutal Honesty. And just to reiterate, Chris's show comes on Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio B. Sorry about that, Chris. I've got brain fog today. But you made some great points earlier. I just want to let Vicky finish up her thoughts about these systems that's so fascinating to me. And then let's let Chris let it rip again after that. Go ahead, Vicky, please.
Okay. All right. Well, the global systems that they agreed to, there were 11 of them in I guess, the Bangaman report, which Bangaman was a European industrialist / governing official, yeah, I guess in the model of fascism or whatever, but the he came out with the original list of 11 global systems, and at a meeting, let me see, I can't remember when this meeting was, 1995 is when they the list was presented, and it included, the concepts: global interoperability for broadband, of course, cross-cultural education and training, electronic libraries, electronic museums and galleries, environment and natural resource management, the Global Emergency Management Information Network Initiative, that's Gemini, and let's see, Global Healthcare Applications and Government Online, and the Global Marketplace for Small and Medium Enterprises, and the Maritime Information Systems. Okay, the Maritime, like I said, the Maritime Information Systems are the systems for the global transportation network, And at the hubs is where you have the World Customs system. And for that reason, in a global system like that, I consider those hubs to be choke points, economic choke points. And when you have a global system of government ruling over everything, that small countries, any country won't be able to be free and independent. That's the thing about all of these global systems, is that they create an interlocking system. And it's really easy to bring systems together, but it is just really hard to take them apart, because you basically have to rebuild your own system to take back a function that has been transferred to the control of somebody else. Does that make
great
sense?
Yeah, great response. Chris, why don't you let it rip, man? You said some really thought-provoking things earlier. You're really on fire. Take it away, man.
Thanks, brother. Really appreciate you. Thanks, Vicky, too. You're on fire, too. I want to point out some of the formulas of empire, historically speaking. These are some things that really you got to look at, because they use the same formula, but just under different offerings. You know, and many of them offer things like Aristotle said in terms of mobilizing rhetoric, something that delivers a logos, pathos, or ethos, in many cases plays upon the desire of the citizens for goodness or connection with God. And it usually gives them many universal truths, but not entire truths. And this is a formula they've used for thousands of years. And they create this concept of like a social contract with the citizens, you know, a legal system, a law system. And in many cases, they create a trinity of accountability, as well as obfuscate blame as well. You know, where you have to have, like, say, a god or a priest, you have to have a king or a nation, and then you got to have, you know, a bank or something that controls trade or industry or commerce, you know, more importantly. And trade is such a massive thing that many people don't realize the value of it and our contribution to trade in terms of labor and its production. And this is the first time that labor's really been on the pinnacle as far as its supply and demand concepts with this notion, historically speaking. In other words, we're being, you know, replaced by robotics, AI, many things like this. And it's really disrupting the infrastructure, the logistic control of many of these things. And of course, the oligarchs that try to control these logistical infrastructures are really structuring these things as a mark of the beast type of system, as many are clearly seeing. And this is a formula they've often used. They just haven't been able to perfect it. And I think this technocracy they're seeing now allows them to kind of do that. And I think every citizen around the world needs to see this formula to understand what these globalists, or whatever you want to call them, pick a name. We can fight over the semantic name you want to call these guys. But the 1%, the elite, the cabal, whatever you want to put them on, that's who's trying to do this to us. And that's what they're really trying to do here. So, you know, it's really up to us to decide if we want to, you know, basically fund our own chains, our own future imprisonment and this own thing, you know, or to really step away from it, to not do business with these people, to not enter their offer contracts, to not really take their bait. You know, like they're trying to put you on things like the crypto system and these full control systems with big data and AI surveillance, like I was saying. And as I say, I'm looking into something, historically speaking, not only in Rome, like how they did this, even under the Vatican, how they did this, but even the 1650s of China, they had something similar to like they did with the Roman model with cohorts and kohongs, where these are like merchants in foreign cities that control the port cities and the trade centers. And they are like officially sanctioned tax paying or tribute paying let's just say parts of the syndicate of this empire. And it is a way to run logistical control and to control the production of goods, or at least the sale of goods, in terms of creating a mark of the beast system. So this is really the wet dream of the people that are trying to invert you under concepts like political, religious, or any type of racial notions. You really got to look at how they're using these things to invoke you limbically and to lose sight of this grand scheme, this formula. So I guess if you can divorce yourself from the emotion and think about this, it might help you understand the political theater that you're seeing, and maybe to understand things behind this, to see that, you know, because it's cover fire for a bigger picture.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The system of free ports, or let's see, in Germany, I think they were called the Hanseatic system of ports. And the British Empire was built on ports, maritime. That's where you get maritime law. And so actually, if you look at Hong Kong, where Hong Kong was really part of China, but the British got a 100-year lease on the part of the island, and they built an industrial and financial Asian
independent
empire
system.
Right there as an independent system, one country, two systems. You have the system of China, the communist system, and then the system in Hong Kong that was supposed to be democratic, capitalist, free market, whatever. Well, the system of Hong Kong is the model of the logical ports worldwide. And the idea of the maritime law or independent law in the logical island or in the logical port or the real port, it connects, it makes a big system for commerce under global governance.
No doubt.
And
to your point, this goes back to like the 1830s, the first opium war, and like the extraterritoriality that was established under this. And like the British Empire literally did, like you say, set up an entirely separate system where they enjoyed the extraterritoriality. They were beyond Chinese law. They were only held accountable to what the British law said would discipline them. So they could commit tons of war crimes to these people, have warlord factories, and like not even be faced with judgment in terms of Chinese law.
Yeah, well, you've heard about the slave labor in China, you know, Apple and Nike, you know, using basically Chinese slave labor. Well, the area where those businesses are located are zones, corporate controlled zones. And just coincidentally, a friend of mine sent me an article about the announcement of essentially a new nation, logical island type territory in Honduras. And this was just a couple of days ago. Let me find that article.
And I do this in the 80s too. Like the Israelis were trying to do something like this because that's a crucial area for going from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And if you can have some sort of a canal through there, man, that would save a lot of mileage.
Well, and what they were doing in the 80s is it has never stopped. The idea of creating this control system over global commerce has never stopped. I found the idea of the European Transportation Network, I found a plan for it in Great Britain. And that was in the 1950s, somewhere around there. And they had the transportation network all across Europe, all planned out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One Belt, One Road now, so, too.
Yeah, I have that documented on both my old website and my new website. I have reference to that.
I think Hong Kong has the largest concentration of billionaires now, you know, per capita. Is that correct? Or something like that? I thought I read that somewhere.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all because it was Mitch McConnell that passed the Hong Kong something act in the early 90s. But they knew that... Hong Kong was going to be passed back to China in 1997. And, you know, there was all that business, you know, and even American businesses there in Hong Kong. So what Mitch McConnell did is to pass legislation saying that we would continue to treat Hong Kong as if it was a separate island from China, for the purposes of trade. Even though Communist China took administrative control and they promised that they would let Hong Kong function as an independent island for, I forget, 100 years or 50 years, I forget which.
100 years, 99 years, 100 years.
100 years, yeah. Okay, well, but China is, of course, going back on the deal, which is why the officials in our country are so upset about that.
Playing Taiwan against China too, like I think that's the two divisions in China, they're playing them against each other for like since the 30s, if not longer as well.
I think so. I watched a TED talk, and there was a former British official on there, and he said Britain always plays to the middle, always. And yep. So, you know, wherever there are disputes, Britain is playing to the middle. And, of course, that's to Britain's advantage, right?
American War, big time. Mm-hmm. In the 1840s?
Yeah.
They were all
Vicky,
over
that recently.
Yeah?
Vicky, my apologies for having had to step away for a few minutes. With all your work on technological tyranny, what is your take about the pre-recording of the Biden inauguration, his apparent lack of access to the White House, all of the executive orders and like? It seems to me, talking about a tyranny, we're in the midst of one right now.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I actually think that the government of the United States may actually be an illusion at this point. As I've followed the history, what General Scowcroft said, you know, he was Secretary of State, he was involved in all of this, is that their idea was to soften sovereignty. Well, you can't soften sovereignty and relinquish control of your economy and establish a trinational system of governance over certain areas of the country, of the economy, and still have a national government. I mean, logically, it just can't happen. You know, power, the power to govern, it's like somebody that is in charge of something, but they have no authority over it. Well, that's what they did to our government. It's kind of like the termites eating out the core. Now, the structure still stands, but if you blow on it hard, it's going to fall apart. And that's kind of where we are in this country, I believe. I think Biden is really just, Biden and Harris are just figureheads over a system that they don't control. And I don't think Congress controls it either.
Let me ask a further question, if I might, Vicky. Biden's cognitive incompetence has become so manifest. His first and only press conference was such a complete disaster. There's a lot of speculation he'll be stepping aside one way or another. I have a colleague who believes he will be subjected to an assassination by someone who will be claimed to have been a Trump supporter, so that Kamala can move up. Would you have any thoughts about the order of succession here and what you believe is going to turn out to be the case?
Kamala can't be president. She is not a natural born American. It would have to be Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is third in succession as Speaker of the House.
What? Under those circumstances, how could Kamala even be on the ticket for a national office that is only designed to be the successor to the presidency were she unqualified? I mean, in the case of Barack Obama, he was similarly unqualified, but yet very prominent Democrats, including Howard Dean, vouched for his qualifications as president. Something like that must have happened here, too. This is a major scandal. So what's your thoughts about how it can be exposed and why it hasn't been exposed already?
Well, the media has been covering up for the globalists. They are part of the globalist infrastructure that has betrayed this country since post-World War II. And so now I don't know if they did it. You know, most newspapers don't have the money or the caliber of people to keep track of these international things that the U.S. does. New York does, and so does Washington, D.C., and they kept it quiet. They didn't really ring any alarm bells, you might say. Now, the way that people write things, it's interesting to study just in itself, because a lot of these foreign policy things that they do, they are written in the most boring and horrible, you know, you just want to blow your brains out rather than read this stuff. But they say really important things, you know, that everybody should know. So the way things are written really makes a difference in whether or not people will read it. So while they might have covered some of the agenda in the newspapers, they did it in such a low-key, casual way that it didn't apparently raise any alarm bells by newspapers out in the rest of the country. You know, so nobody got a heads up that they were selling us out in Helsinki in 1975 and what the meaning of that was. You know, what the meaning of this organization that they created, where communists from the Soviet Union and East Germany were meeting with our economic leaders or State Department leaders, and they were cooperating how our country would change policies to cooperate with the communist countries of the East. You know, I lived in the West most of my life, and the Soviet Union was the enemy. The idea that they would be negotiating and cooperating with the communists of the East would be unthinkable. But yet they did.
Scorpio, back to you.
Well, this is a great conversation, guys. And Jim, excellent points you brought up. But, you know, I agree with Vicky saying about Kamala Harris being unfit to be vice president, much less president. But unfortunately, I think that whole, even though it's completely 100% correct, that's sort of antiquated now, because Obama wasn't a natural born citizen either. And it just seems to me what they're doing is they're really setting the stage for Kamala Harris to be president. And I think we're going to enter into an incredibly radical phase of what's coming on with this government. And, you know, of course, if you don't like anything President Harris does, you're both a racist and a misogynist. I think that's going to be the narrative going forward.
And yeah,
well, that's
right.
That's all part of the social agenda to change our way of thinking. And, you know, we at this point, we're really not much more than just a big socialist psychological experiment going on, you know, to see what they can get away with. But
hey, Vicky,
I agree with you that they're going to try to put Kamala Harris in as president, and maybe that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Vicky, I'm sorry, I'll be a little bit there. Hey, do you think they did the same thing with World War II, where, like, it seems like the robber barons funded both sides of the communist as well as the fascist side of the combat? And it seems like they're doing the same with Democrat and Republican. It's all run by CFR and AIPAC.
Yes, I do. And I found some very interesting information on Winston Churchill that kind of indicates that the division between East and West was an experiment. You know, which system would work better?
A race to the prize.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, which, you know, I never heard that before, but that was really kind of a, oh no, it wasn't Winston Churchill. It was Alan Greenspan.
Sure.
Alan Greenspan. Doesn't yeah.
These guys are all the same brain.
Yeah. And, basically they surrendered our economy in our financial system in 1990. I found this old video of Alan Greenspan, and it was before he became so guarded in what he said, you know, because as chairman of the Federal Reserve, they have to be really careful about what they're saying. But this video I found was before he was so guarded in what he said. And it's really fascinating. I would recommend that everybody go listen to that. And he said he never heard of market economies when he was going to school. And from that, I take it, and putting together all the other pieces, that, quote, the market means borderless commerce at the global level. And that's what they're talking about when they talk about rules-based market economy. They're talking about rules at the global level, not our national rules. And what they did in the trade agreements is to harmonize our
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Already.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
What gender they want to be? How big of a stretch is it for society to say, well, children have the right to have sex with adults if they want to? It's part of their choice. And I think that's where they're planning on taking this, into open pedophilia. That's been one of the dreams of these perverted, evil, oligarchs that seem to have a death grip on the entire world.
I heard somebody say the other day that the California reduced the age of consent to 11. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's something to look for, because somebody was talking about that the other day.
I know they've introduced it in the state legislature. I didn't think it passed a year or two ago when it was 12 and it didn't work, but yeah, it's crazy.
Let me put out the number for people to call in. I'm sure there are many opinions that they'd like to join and speak with Vicky and the rest of us. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. 540-352-4452. Chris, your thoughts about these additional developments?
Well, I think that these are just absurdities and just plain out violations of any common decency that anybody could possibly have. And they're intentional. I think they're there to just gaslight people, or to see if they'll actually react in a pretty limbic manner. And I think they're trying to provoke the citizenry, anybody who's paying attention at least, into that. So, I think you just really got to just tally it up and keep note. And when it's time and the people are finally lined up, they have more than an abundant list to go by of things that have pretty much crossed the Rubicon in terms of the social contract.
It's just breathtaking what's taking place here in Canada. Again, I say, is the tip of the spear. Just stunning. Vicky, did you want to add further thoughts?
Like when you think they couldn't get any more absurd. Like,
yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, they use cases like that as social conditioning, you know, introducing the thought that this could happen, that they could actually do this, and that the government is enforcing that on people. And so it's hard to say whether it's real in terms of the Canadian government going that so far off the rails, or whether it's an introduction to where the government intends to go off the rails. So
test prototype to see if it works, if it'll fly without a massive revolution.
Yeah. How many people are going to object to this, agenda?
It should be a lot.
It's also sick, this social engineering that they do on our societies. It is so sick. And I don't know why, I really don't understand why more people don't stand up or, you know, come out and join your neighbors and say no to all of this.
I can tell you why.
We are not going to de-civilize. We are not going to break down civilization and return to primitivism.
Yeah,
we have a couple of callers standing by already. First from 315 area code. Please give us your first name and state and join the conversation. 315 area code. Are you there? Sal from Colorado is here. Sal, join the conversation.
Hi, Vicky, Jim, and Scorpio, and I think Chris. I wanted to ask you, Vicky, I've heard that the reason the United States wanted to take down Gaddafi is because he planned on converting the currency system to gold, which would certainly punch all other systems that far no longer had gold standards anymore in a big way. Do you know anything about that?
No, I do recall hearing that. But it fits in with the global plan, because they plan on going to a system of electronic currency. But gold is, of course, it's a precious metal, and gold will always have value. And if a person has gold, they could get around the global system of electronic currency. So I can see why that would be another reason why they would want to take him out. And part of the establishment of a global hub in Benghazi is for the World Customs Organization to be able to track and charge customs, which would be like a global tax. If you control all of the ports globally, then you could implement a global tax at the port hubs. And so Gaddafi trying to get around that makes sense to me.
Yeah, could I jump in on that, Jim?
His mineral in Africa, I think he was really trying to not go into the British and American fiat currency system and be blackmailed by the petrodollar. I think that he was really trying to break away from that. And many others were too, if you really think about it, and they've been pretty much deemed despots when they do. So this goes like even to back to De Gaulle or even before World War II. If you look at the G8 nations you were talking about earlier, they're almost the same exact countries that started a roundup expeditionary army mission in 1933 to go confiscate gold and silver bullion, to pull people off the gold and silver exchange, especially in China and French Indochina and many places in the colonies around the world. So yeah, this is European colonies, I should say. So that's something I think is very prominent, where they're trying to dissociate from the exchange of gold and silver. And that was a pretense for World War II, because the IMF and World Bank come out of this and arguably start this central banking system around the world under this UN charter, which is the basis of all laws. And most loans and resource deals are inextricably tied to these measures. And I think that it's all a very complicated shakedown by a very select few.
Yeah, well, it looks to me like what they are with the whole environmental agenda, if you look at the way value in it is derived, it's derived from building something. You know, you start out with a piece of land and you build something on it, and it suddenly has a higher value because of the construction that is on that land. Under the environmental agenda, they want to be able to penalize the use of resources and move to an inverted system, you know, where there's value in not using resources, which if you think it through logically, it makes no sense whatsoever. It can't possibly work unless you just assign a value to everything, because you can't have an economy based on reduction, right?
Right back. As you're there.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, well, I guess we're back here for the final half hour of the event. I'm here with Scorpio. Well, I am Scorpio. I'm here with the most dangerous mind in America, Dr. Jim Fetzer, who needs no introduction. Chris Weiner, a.k.a. Brutal Honesty, and Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. And I just briefly wanted to comment on the question posed by the caller about Gaddafi. And, you know, the currency he was proposing was to be a pan-African currency backed by gold. So he wanted to spread this currency all over Africa, which, of course, would have been incredibly dangerous for the funny money masters who just want to print money out of nothing and give it to their friends for whatever cause they choose. Having the currency tied to a tangible thing like gold, or even better, tying it to the value of labor, that puts constraints on the financial system and would make what these people are doing so much more difficult. And the other great sin that Gaddafi did, if you want to call it that, was he was drilling into some ultra deep water sources, so-called primary water, and this great irrigation project he was going to do, he was going to essentially turn Libya into a green, verdant paradise. And the controllers don't want us to know that there is incredible amounts of water available to us deep under the earth, just like there are incredible amounts of oil and gas, as Russia has proved by drilling ultra-deep wells. That's why Russia has so much natural gas. They dug the deepest wells in the world. And they don't want the rubes, the common people of the world, to know the great abundance that's potentially there for us. And I'm telling you, water is going to be the next great resource war that we're supposed to fight over. And they can't do it if they have an honest currency. So they murdered Gaddafi. That was a murder. And, of course, they anally raped him with a broomstick on top of that. So these people are vicious, and they will stop at nothing to keep their paradigm of scarcity going.
Dave, that's a great point. You know, think about this. We were talking about it earlier. You could say that most arguably organic farmers and plumbers could save more lives than the Rockefeller Board of Medicine doctors at this point. And if you think about this, Gaddafi was not trying to deliver his people a vaccine or a GMO food product. He was trying to give them clean water and a healthy infrastructure and even educate his people. So these are very dangerous things for the people that send the London School of Economics and the CIA and many of these people, the banking institutions, to really extract resources from the people and put these control systems on them. So this is part of the UN colonization agenda that we're talking about. And anybody that's not 100% on board is violently taken out, as it seems to be.
Yeah. Well, people should by now understand, although I don't know if they do or not, but there is an actual war on the United States. It's a war in the context of everything else, unrestricted warfare, meaning they're not coming at us with soldiers and uniforms and guns. They are attacking us from within, through our domestic economy, through our domestic laws, through our cultural institutions. It is an all-out war. It's just not being called a war. But it is.
Any other name.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. It's fifth generation war, attacking the mind, attacking the soul. I mean, that's what wasn't brought up earlier, is that for the last 150 years or so, the religion of science has sought to convince the average citizen that the materialistic mechanistic view of reality is the only view, And because that's so prevalent now, the Satanists, the international banksters, are Satanists and worship a dark entity, and they're getting away with it because people have lost their ability to look inside and find a connection with the divine. The divine is nature. The divine is healthy food. The divine is sunshine and exercise. And these subhuman Talmudic chicken swingers are hell bent on transforming the earth into a type of living hell. And that's what is exactly going on with the pedal to the metal right now.
I totally agree. Absolutely agree.
Scorpio, did you have a comment you wanted to make about our caller? Did you get a chance to work that in, Wise?
I sure did. Yeah. I thought he brought up a great question, and yeah, I certainly did. Yes.
Excellent. Chris, your further thoughts about the situation we're in?
Yeah, well, I think that we're pretty much all aware of what's going on and who's behind it, but now we got to figure out what we're going to do about it and how we're going to go about stepping in the right direction moving forward. Because I think that really we have to start forging our own alternatives. I don't think they're going to be presented to us by any sort of CFR APAC offering. I think that we really got to start coming together. Our local communities, our even like-minded individuals across the world, even establishing different media platforms in the face of this censorship and the digital Holocaust. We don't have too much more time in terms of the ability to organize and to stand against this. They are running this warp speed, full speed ahead. So I think that really the citizens are going to have to start responding to what is being done in such a manner, just for the sake of survival. Common sense.
Giuseppe.
Yeah, I mean, breaking news, they just evacuated the Capitol because a suspicious package was sighted. So they're just, like Vicky said, we are being attacked by a war. It's been a year now. It's primarily a psychological war and an attack on your ability to control your own sovereign destiny via health, via access to food. I mean, a year ago they ran that test where they freaked out all the normies, and all of a sudden you couldn't get toilet paper, you couldn't get a lot of things, and that was just a test. They're going to do that again in the next year to 18 months on a much higher scale, and force you to get in lines with an Operation Warp Speed light food distribution system. If these parasites are not removed soon, they're going to win, and we are all going to be enslaved like some bad science fiction movie.
Yeah, we're chasing an invisible enemy, a virus, when we have a parasite issue.
Yep, that's it.
That's a good point. That's why ivermectin works. It's a parasite. And I wanted to touch upon something Giuseppe just said. I truly do agree with him. And we're going to have one crisis after another, one, phantom menace after another. It figures that they want to pull this card on, oh, we have to lock down the Capitol. There's a suspicious package found. Oh, my God. And I'm telling you, water is going to be the next big resource grab. You know, the elite oligarch class has been buying up water rights all over the world. And pretty soon they're going to tell us, oh, gosh, there's not enough water for anything. We're going to have to raise your bill five times and limit what you do. And it's already happening in San Diego. I believe they're using weather warfare to create a drought in the Southwest. And San Diego is already talking about completely limiting the amount of water people are allowed to use, period. Not just watering your lawn or your garden. I'm talking about inside your house.
Right. And well, it's all resources. They want to control all resources. So that basically everybody will be dependent upon the system for making a living. You will not be able to live independently in any way, shape, or form, because they control everything. I've used the example of, I don't know how many of you have seen an assembly line to build a car. Everything is coordinated and timed so that the right part arrives at the right place on the line for the guy to pick up the screw and put it right in place, and the car moves on down the assembly line. It is all 100% orchestrated, and everybody must move in synchronicity. Well, that's the way life is going to be in the future when they have all these, when they control all the resources and they control all the institutions, there will be no freedom. Freedom will be gone. Humanity will be gone. I've called it the, on my website, I have a section for the post-human world. And the world these globalists are building, it is the post-human world.
Yeah, I agree. Those are great points, Vicky. It is a war on all resources. You're absolutely right. They want all the resources. And as I was pointing out on my show last week, these oligarchs intend to become gods. That's their ultimate goal. They want to reduce humanity down to just a servile class of slaves who are all vaccinated, tagged, and bagged. And you know, they want to ascend to being gods.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. And
I'd be very glad if Mitchell had a thought or two he'd like to add to the conversation. But if not, Vicky, this thing with the Biden administration is so grotesque. Where do you see it heading?
Well, they're proceeding right where Obama left off, you know, with the Green New Deal. Of course, the Green New Deal is to be able to control all of the resources, absolute control, infrastructure that is 100% controlled by computer systems. And they are building a living factory, like I just described, you know, how the car manufacturers have everything planned and programmed. That is the model of automation for our society. And it's at every level. It's your education system. It's the healthcare system. It's the transportation system. It's, you know, our, did I say the electric system, the electricity system? Absolutely everything 100% controlled. That's where they're going with these systems that they're building. And it's going to take them probably another 50 years or so to get all of the systems in place. They've been moving really fast. They've been working on it now for about 30 years. So I'd say, you know, between another 30 and 50 years, they will have it in place. And when they have all those systems in place, it is the end of humanity.
Mitchell, I know you wanted to add at least three words. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Problem, reaction, solution.
Yep.
Hey, can we just put everybody on the lead and walk them like they're a dog? You know, that's essentially what's happening. And, you know, this... The mainstream bullshit machine should be known as propaganda, not fake news. That might help make progress in educating people who are taught to follow and never lead. Go ahead.
Excellent point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. You know, there's a lot of people that seem to be conditioned born followers, and the independent spirit, the innovation has been snuffed out of the imagination of most Americans and global citizens by this group. This has not been an accident. I think it's part of the operation that they've tried to captivate the minds through Hollywood and really to establish values for things that should be irrelevant and make the irrelevant valuable. So I think that this is kind of part of the inversion process, and really it's part of a demoralization process as well. And I think that only the core moral fiber of our community is going to be the only thing that gets us out of this. And it's going to take a lot of diligence, you know, but I think that the real enemies have showed their face and have really torn off their masks, so to speak, and really are trying to get you to wear one. So yeah, should pretty much be enough said.
Alex Jones recently produced a video or released a video where he has, Charlotte Israelite talking about Skull and Bones, and you know, she helped reveal Skull and Bones because her father was a member. And she talked about the education system. Rather than being an education system, they converted it to, I think the word is, the term is operant conditioning. Basically, it's animal training, Pavlov's dogs. And I know they have done that. I have a video of the classroom where George Bush was on 9/11, and the teacher is giving a reading lesson, and she has a, I don't know if it's a ruler, but she's having the class read, and every word that the kids read, she taps the ruler, so that there is no way that a child could absorb the meaning of the word because they're focused on the rhythm. And it's really heinous. It's the most horrible thing I've ever seen. Why anybody would do that to a child, I can't for the life of me figure out. But changing the system to a system of skills training and conditioning, that is the goal. That's what they're doing. And as a matter of fact, under the new management initiative during the Trump administration, Mick Mulvaney, what they did was to merge the Department of Labor with the Department of Education, moving to a vocational system of skills training.
Well, I'd like to interject that you're exactly right.
Go ahead.
Let me just jump in, Scorpio. The children with that rhythmic click, that's called regular operant conditioning under the Skinner model. That gets them used to operating operant conditioning. What's being done to adults is the most insidious form of operant conditioning, which is intermittent. So you don't know when the next crisis is coming. So you think, oh, we've settled down. I'll get the vaccine. But, oh, no, now the power grid's out. And then things will stabilize for a couple months. Oh, no, the next crisis. And that's how they're entraining the normies into this, like Mitchell said, so to not fight the lead as the dogs they are.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah, well said.
If you think about this, like they've been rearing kings or putting these type of control systems over people through inquisition tactics for a very long time, using authority and this draconian measure to abuse it, and this ambiguous metric system by which to let it prosper by. This is part of the atmosphere of fear that they create, so that people really that don't want to think outside the box just go along the path and just don't want to get whipped or branded. So they just kind of sneak in with the herd, so to speak. And as long as the herd's being misled by these Judas goats and sheepdogs, yeah, this is going to be where we're going to end up going, is right to the butcher's plate.
Given the bizarre news we've had from Canada, this is at least in the right direction. Canada suspends AstraZeneca COVID shot, 2,530 injuries and 24 dead, following mostly Pfizer and Moderna shots. Canada's National Advisory Committee on Immunization is recommending provinces pause the use of AstraZeneca Oxford COVID-19 on those under the age of 55 because of safety concerns. Guides most provinces said today that they would follow. The charge comes following reports out of Europe of very rare instances of blood clots in some immunized patients, notably among younger women. But 300,000 of these shots have been administered in Canada already, with no reports of blood shots here. The blood clotting problem also has not been reported in those who receive the mRNA vaccines like Pfizer and Moderna. But nevertheless, the deaths and the injuries are not being reported by the CDC, who's only willing to acknowledge you might have some redness in your shoulder or a little swelling or you might get a headache. They're not talking about death and all the other damage that's being inflicted worldwide by the use of these vaccines to conceal information that Americans would cause them to pause. I mean, not just vaccine hesitancy, but vaccine rejection. Giuseppe.
Well, Jim, as listeners may or may not know, there's something called VARS, the Vaccine Adverse event reporting system. And right now, there's 1,700 deaths, probably higher now. That was last week's total reported. Harvard University recently did a study of the VARS system, an audit actually, and they found that less than 1% of the actual quantity of deaths, maiming, injuries, adverse events is reported, because it's very difficult for the average American to understand and implement the system. And the medical personnel are terrified to use it because they feel they'll have retributions, including loss of job. The Europeans are a little more honest in what's going on with their rollout of the vaccinations. They're about at 5,000 murdered and about 100,000 injured. And this is just insane, Jim. I mean, when are the normies going to wake up?
Yes, yes, stunning. Scorpio?
Yeah, Jim. Well, I have a little different take on this AstraZeneca thing. It seems like, you know, AstraZeneca is the odd man out for some reason. And they're all, oh, AstraZeneca is not safe, so we're going to stop those, but all the other ones are safe. I think they're just playing this little game like, well, see, we're making sure the vaccines are safe, and we pulled the one that's dangerous, so no cause for alarm, line up and get that jab. And this also could be a turf war behind the scenes between the different companies as to who gets to be the big vaccinator. And it just may be that AstraZeneca is the odd man out, because the media refuses to report on any other adverse side effects from any of the other vaccines.
It's the illusion of competition too, Dave, because most of these things are being directed by the same force of people, the same financial force with the same objective. And arguably it's being delivered by three different corporations with limited liability.
Right.
So I think that that's probably a part of it too. I have to also say that most of what this thing is an abusive language. It's not even a vaccine. And that's the whole thing they're getting away with. There's not even a virus to vaccinate against. And that's what they're getting away with. And this is the thing that we need to really keep standing firm on. Because like when we go along with just the dialogue and accept the narrative that they're putting out, it's really we're not saying complicit, but we're assisting their narrative in some ways when it really needs to be called out in many ways, because the whole thing crumbles apart. It's built on fiction, and it just should be a thing of dominoes.
That's a great point, Chris. The language is false. These are not vaccines. You're right. And, you know, Europe is also very rapidly working on rolling out vaccine passports. You will not be able to travel to Europe or within Europe without a vaccine passport in the near future.
Yeah, New York is rolling it out too. Well, and Idaho is rolling it out. They in their driver's license system, you had an option of getting a yellow star on your driver's license. And if you don't get the yellow
excited?
Yeah. Well, I don't actually, I didn't think to look at that. But if you don't get that star on your driver's license, you can't travel via public transportation, and you can't go into a federal building. So, see, it's all one way or another, they are getting a unique ID on everybody, whether it's through your driver's license or whether it's through a medical ID. They have to have an absolute unique ID, and probably your DNA code or string plus a unique number, because there is an error factor in there, will be the key code to your records. It's got to be, you know, for them to have a global management system. Just has to be.
Could this be a computer simulation run by like the Niall Ferguson model? Because, I mean, if this guy was a weatherman, he should be throwing drinks in his face. And he's just been so wrong. And yet he's saying like they're acting like he's a hero, like Fauci's a hero, saving 20, 200 million people, whatever it is. This whole thing's bullshit.
Yeah, well, it totally is from beginning to end.
One more report from Canada, bombshell. Disposable blue face mask found to contain toxic asbestos-like substance that destroys lungs. Health Canada has issued a warning about blue and gray disposable face masks, which contain an asbestos-like substance associated with early pulmonary toxicity. This is just unbelievable. Canada appears to be the laboratory model for America.
Canada and the United States and Mexico are working hand in glove. That's what the USMCA was about. It was finalizing the trilateral co-imperium over the top of these three countries.
The North American Union.
Yes.
Scorpio, take us out. This has been terrific.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not.